Hey, you guys. Welcome to the Glow Up Podcast with your host, Nellie Buller, aka your Glow Up Coach. And in this podcast, you guys, we're going to be talking about how to ditch the diet and lose weight without giving up the foods that you enjoy. Yes, we are going to be digging deep into mindset because when it comes to weight loss, you guys, it's going to be 100% mindset. Then we're also going to be talking about some general nutrition and lifestyle tips. So this way you lose the weight and keep it off. If you find any value out of this podcast, make sure that you tune into the next episode as well as share it with a friend. So let's hop into today's episode. Okay, y'all, before we start this episode, this is just a moment of transparency, right? I have tried to record this episode 5, 6, probably even 7 times, and I always end up erasing it. And like, even right now, I'm trying my hardest not to cry, right? And like, I'm trying my hardest and literally a tear just rolled down. What in the world? I am so honored. I am so humbled. I am so thankful. I am so grateful for you. Like the fact that people are coming to me and they're asking me this question, it is confirmation for me. It's confirmation that I have done what I never thought was possible for me. I have done something that I have been telling myself that I could not do. So the first thing that I was telling myself that I could not do is I told myself that I could not lose weight. I told myself, like my husband had to point this out to me. I used to tell him that I would never ever be skinny. Now, do I consider myself skinny now? No, I like to say I'm still thick. At 119 pounds, I'm still thick, right? But it's confirmation that I've done something that I have been telling myself that I could not do, a lie that I had been believing, right? Something that I had repeated, and I didn't even know that I was repeating this lie until my husband said it. See, a lot of times people are like, why do you need a coach, right? Sometimes having just that external pair of ears can actually shed light onto what you actually believe. And so the second belief that I had, you guys, was that I would never ever have a flat stomach. And the reason why I believed that was because I ain't never had one. Like, how, if you've never ever had something, why do you all of a sudden think that you're going to get it? A lot of times we don't, because we only know what we know. We only know what we have been exposed to. So people coming to me and asking me for help with getting a flat stomach, help with getting abs, I'm like, oh my God, like that's actually confirmation for me that I've done something that I told myself that I could not do. Y'all, when I was graduating 8th grade, I was 140 pounds. Now for some of y'all like, that isn't that bad. Well, I'm 5'1½", put the half in there, right? I was 140. By the time I graduated from high school, I was 180. Then I went off to college. If you have ever heard of the freshman 15, y'all, look, listen, I met the freshman 15 and her best friend. Do you hear me? Yes, I really put on a lot of weight. And being only 5'1½", you guys, having that much weight on me really, really took a toll on my health, okay? Like, I was at the point where just sitting actually hurt. My hip would just start throbbing out of no doggone where. Then when I went to the doctor, they were talking about like pre-hypertension. I started to lack energy. I didn't want to do anything, right? Like, I just started to turn into this person that was actually miserable. So now that I've actually focused on myself, focused on being healthier, right? Not just losing weight, but actually being healthier. And this has actually manifested into what you see today. It is just confirmation that all of those years of beating myself down, saying that you cannot do it. Like, I actually proved myself wrong. So when you guys came to me and you asked me this question, you guys, that was actually confirmation for me. So I am going to make this episode specifically for you. Like, I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm going to try to answer this as best as I can for you. So this is what I want you guys to do. I want you to get a sheet of paper and a pen. Or if you are like me now and you're trying to be more digital, open up your favorite note-taking app like GoodNotes, OneNote, Notes, whatever, right? And I want you to actually take some notes. Now, before I actually go into how I lost weight and how I lost belly fat, this is the official disclaimer, you guys. So most of us are here not because we've always been thin our whole lives and we are thin now and we want to develop abs. That ain't most of us. Most of us have put on some type of weight at some point in our lives and now we actually want to lose weight and get healthier and we want that gut to be gone. Let's face it. Here's the truth. This is the disclaimer. When you were gaining weight, you did not get a say-so in where that weight went. You wasn't like, all right, God, I'm going to put this weight on, but I only want it to be in my booty. You were like, okay, God, I'm going to put this weight on, but I only want it to be in my breast. You didn't say that. Because if you did, I guarantee you, you would not have said anything like, okay, God, put the weight in my stomach. Like, unless you're trying to get pregnant or something like that, you would not have said anything like that, right? So when it comes to losing weight, you guys, the same way you didn't get a say-so in where the weight went, you don't necessarily get a say so in where the weight comes off of, right? So I'm not gonna lie to you and say you could spot reduce. I'm not gonna say you can keep your arms the same. You can keep your legs the same. You can keep your calves the same. You can keep your booty the same. You can keep your toe the same. I'm not gonna lie to you and say nothing like that, right? So in order to lose weight, in order to actually lose weight around your stomach, you guys, you have to lose weight overall. Now I am speaking from my experience, right? I have tried just about everything out there on the market. I have tried so many different things. And because I tried those things and they did not work, what ended up happening for me is I felt even more like a failure. I ended up crushing my confidence because you guys, at the end of the day, the truth was I did not trust myself. I didn't trust myself and I did not believe in myself. I also did not think that I deserved to be happy. I did not deserve to actually lose weight. Why was I so hard on myself, you guys? I had lost weight before, okay? About 15, 16 years ago, I lost a lot of weight. I lost like 66 pounds and I did not maintain it. And so because I did not maintain it, I felt like a failure. Now I have opened up about this before, but one of my biggest fears, you guys, is to be a failure. I have a lot of pressure on my shoulders that I put on there. And I did not want to be a failure because in my eyes, if I failed, that means that my friends and family watched me fail. That means that I let my friends and family down. That meant that I let myself down. So I have been trying my entire life to avoid failure. So when I actually lost this weight and I gained it back, and I gained it back because what I did was not sustainable, right? This is why I talk about making sure you choose a healthier lifestyle. This is why I don't say restrict a lot of things. But because I gained that weight back, I felt like a failure. I felt so miserable. I felt like I was unworthy of every single thing. I thought that I did not deserve to be happy. I thought that I did not deserve to be healthy. Okay. So I am saying this from the bottom of my heart. Now, let me hop into the 4 tips that have actually helped me lose weight and lose belly fat. So tip number 1 is mindset. So I know a lot of times y'all probably like, oh my God, why is it that every time somebody talk about losing weight, getting healthy, y'all want to talk about this mindset? Like, what does mindset have to do with it? Y'all, look, listen. If you do not believe that something is truly possible for you, if you have a fear around it, if you have a limiting belief around it, if there is a part of you that is actually avoiding it, you will always find yourself sabotaging your results. If you don't think that you are worthy or you're deserving, if you have not worked to create that, to create a positive habit to counteract the bad habits that you actually had. You see, we are actually creatures of habit, you guys. We do a lot of the same things. So if you notice, you probably wake up close to the same time each day. You probably do close to the same things each day. A lot of us, we want to think, oh, we're so adventurous. Y'all, look, listen, you're not sailing a safari today and now you off in Italy the next day. You're really not. A lot of the things that we do is strictly because we have already done it. And guess what? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly natural. Did you know just about 90 to 95% of the things that you do is just because you have already done it before? So when you give your mind the command to do something, I don't care if it's to take a drive, I don't care if it's to eat a piece of candy, I don't don't care if it's actually to phone somebody on the telephone. Yes, I said phone, okay? I'm old, okay? I don't care what it is. When you make up your mind to do something, it is going to go back into your memory bank. It's going to go back to your past experiences. It's going to go to your belief systems and your thought process. This is going to go back to how certain things made you feel. And if it has a fear around it, because when it looked back at how you've done it and it saw that you experienced pain or did you experience pleasure, if it has a fear of that pain that you may have had in the past, guess what? You are going to find yourself either stalling, like you're not doing it, like you're procrastinating, or you're going to get caught in this trap of perfectionism where you start to add on all of this extra shit that you think that you need to do in order to lose weight. Now, all of a sudden, you got to work out for 15 hours straight. Now, all of a sudden, you got to eat like a bird, right? Whatever it is. And when you give your mind a command to do something, it's going to go back to those past experiences. And if you had experienced pain, your mind is going to find a way to talk you out of it. This is why you might end up saying things to yourself that you don't necessarily feel, right? But you actually believe it though. Like, I'm not good enough. You might consciously feel like I do kind of deserve this, but you have a belief about it. Something is telling you, no, you don't deserve it because of this. So it's always this internal battle that you're fighting, y'all. So if you do not work on your actual mindset, a lot of times you're going to actually struggle. See, when I was trying to lose weight, right? I was trying to find the quickest way. I wanted the shortcut, right? I didn't want to do the hard stuff. You guys, the hard stuff was digging into myself and figuring out what the fuck is going on with me. So I want you to ask yourself that same question. And then also look, I told you guys, one of the beliefs was I could not do it because I had never done it. I had never had a flat stomach before, right? So when you give your mind a command to do something, it's going to go back to those past experiences to see how you've done it to help you do it again, right? Well, my mind was like, this girl ain't never had no flat stomach. So how am I going to give her something that I don't truly believe is possible for her, right? This is why in my glow up planner, I cover visualization. And the reason why we use visualization so much, you guys, is because your mind doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's fake. This is why if you're watching a movie, right, and you get really engaged into the movie, and then out of nowhere, somebody just jumps out of the left field, right? You jump too, like, oh shit, right? Like, it actually, like, it causes you to jump because your mind had gotten so engaged and you were consuming this information as if it were real. Right? This is why you might actually find yourself crying during a movie. You know doggone well you don't know those things. What you crying over a fictional character for? But you have been so engaged and you're consuming this information. So when we use visualization, it's like tricking your mind into creating a new memory. So now when you give your mind a command, it's going back to that new memory that you actually created for yourself. It's actually you creating a roadmap for your future success. So something that I tell people to do, this is why I have it in my glow up planner, okay, is when you look at this visualization, go back and see what part of this visualization don't you actually believe? What do you have a fear around? When you start to look at that visualization, you're like, well, that ain't what I could do, right? When you start to talk yourself out of what you just created, figure out why, right? And in the glow up planner, this is why I include the positive affirmations. So I believe in having four different types of affirmations. Yes, I'm different. I'm special like that, right? But one of the affirmations that I like to use is I call them actionable affirmations. So I talked about how we are creatures of habits. And a lot of times we just do things because we've done it before. So sometimes when it comes down to getting healthier, it's just about creating a new positive, healthy habit. So this is why in the planner, I actually walk you through creating new habits and how to create those affirmations to create that new habit, you guys. So positive affirmations can help you in terms of combating the negative things that you're saying to yourself, creating new positive beliefs. It could actually help to give you encouragement, and it could help you create new positive habits. So that's why I talk about all of this in the Glow Up Planner. Now, enough of my self-plug, boo-boo. I'm done with that, all right? Tip number two, your stress management. So look, listen, I know as women, we carry so many hats. We are everything to everybody. And usually what ends up happening is we end up being nothing to ourselves. I know that you are capable. I know that you can do anything that you put your mind to, but understand when it is time for you to actually take some things off of your plate and put it off. Think about it. Is it actually possible for you to have somebody else do it for you? Or think, is it actually even necessary for you to do it? You see, sometimes we start adding all of this extra stuff to our plate, right? Because deep down, we're trying to avoid something else. What are you trying to avoid, right? So when it comes to losing weight and losing belly fat, stress management is really going to play a key part in this whole equation, you guys. When you can, so here's the deal, right? I'm sorry, I'm in these tears, y'all. But what happens, you guys, is we always have this underlying stress. We are always plugged into something. We're plugged into technology. We're plugged into school. We're plugged into work. We're plugged into them kids. We're plugged into everybody else's problems, right? Everybody else's problems. We plug into everything. We always have this stress. If you watch the news, you always see something negative on the news. There's always something that's nagging, always something that you're constantly thinking about, right? But now what happens, you guys, is when you start to stress even more about something, your body can produce this hormone called cortisol. It's your stress hormone. Now, how does that affect your health, you guys? Number one, this hormone actually increases your appetite. Yes, this hormone, if you ever heard, oh, I'm stress eating, I'm eating because I'm stressed. And you're like, well, how is that possible? It's actually possible, you guys. It actually increases your appetite. So you end up eating more. But then also what happens, you guys, I don't know if you have ever watched one of those warrior movies, right? Like Gladiator. Huh? Is Gladiator a warrior movie? I don't know. But if you've ever watched one of those warrior movies, if you have not, just use your imagination like I am, right? You always see that they are fighting to the death, right? They're like, to death and beyond. And they're just fighting, 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 fighting. What have you never seen them stop to do? Get something to eat. You want to know why? So what happens is when you are actually stressed, you cut off the logical, rational, problem-solving part of your brain, right? Now you are just strictly focused on survival mode. So when you go into survival mode, this is just basic instincts. Think about like animals, right? Animals ain't worried about no doggone bills. Animals is like, can I eat? Okay. Do I got a safe place to lay my head? That's all they worried about, right? So what happens is when you go into this survival mode, when you go into flight or fight, you have cut off that rational side of your brain. But now what's also happening to your body is now your body is trying to conserve energy because it does not know the next time that you're going to eat. Your body actually thinks that it's preparing you for war, you guys. It's preparing you for an unsustainable amount of time where it does not know where you're going to get your next meal. So it's going to store this energy. Guess where it's storing energy? In your belly. So if you are actually stressed and you're trying to lose weight, you're trying to lose your belly, and you like, what is going on? Number one is look and see if you're actually stressed, you guys. And if you are, I want you to find a way to ground yourself. So look into like meditation, yoga, dancing, listening to music, creative writing, journaling, go out into the garden, painting, drawing. If you got kids, start doing some activities with your kids, arts and crafts, right? Look for different ways that you can actually relieve the stress, you guys. And I want you to make sure that you're getting plenty of sleep too, because if you don't get enough sleep, guess what? You're going to be sleep deprived, but now you're also causing your hormones to fluctuate, which in turn could increase your appetite. It could also stop you from making the best decisions for you. Have you ever noticed how when you are sleep deprived, when you don't got enough sleep, you start to do things that you would have never done had you had enough sleep? So I want you to actually think about that. And if you're stressed, because I know like a lot of times we put this stress on ourselves and we think we got to handle everything. Listen, when I told you, when you give your mind a command, it's going to look to see how you've done it before to help you do it again. Understand, when you gave your mind a command to solve whatever problem it is that you were trying to solve, your mind was already working on it for you in the background, you guys. Have you ever noticed if you've lost something, you look and then you start panicking, you look high, you look low, you look here, you look there. When do you normally find what you're looking for? When you gave up, right? When you actually sit down, you're like, man, forget it. It's lost. That's when it pops up. That's because, you guys, guess what? Your mind never stopped working for you. It's always going to be working for you. So there's no need to stress about it, right? If you feel yourself stressing about it, like I want you to get really, really in tune with yourself and just stop. Understand how you normally feel. What is going on normally with you? What is a natural emotion for you? What is a natural feeling for you? What's a natural mood for you? And when you start to see, wait a minute, this ain't even me no more. Take a step back. Go outside. Y'all, I talk talked about this before earlier in the summer. I was stressing about what to call myself. Yes, dumbest reason to stress. I know. But that was just my fear of failure sipping in there. I actually just went outside and I just sat in my backyard. Y'all, I'm from Chicago, okay? My backyard is an alley. There is nothing beautiful or aesthetic about this. But it was in that moment that I got my clarity, okay? So I just want you to take a step back and just learn how to manage your stress. Make sure you're getting plenty of sleep, right? And then look for other activities that you can do to take your mind off of it. But then also look to see if you really need to bring somebody else in to help you with it. Tip number three, nutrition. Y'all, when it comes down to losing weight, the saying goes, it's about 80% nutrition and 20% exercise, okay? I'm going to tell you, when I first was going through this, you guys, I had tried to lose weight for like 5 years, okay? I'm just being honest. I had worked out for over 415 days straight and I did not lose a single pound. Do you hear me? If anything, I probably put on weight, all right? And the reason being is I started to use exercise and as like this cure-all. Like, oh, I could just go out and eat 15,000 calories, burn 300 calories, and everything would just work out. And I realized as I was looking back on what I was doing, that was fear. I was sabotaging my results because I did have a fear about losing weight and not being able to maintain it. I did have a fear about losing weight and actually being miserable and not enjoying the foods. So I would sit there and I would sabotage it. And then I would lose confidence and say that nothing works, right? So when it comes to losing weight, it's about creating a caloric deficit. This means that you are burning more calories than it takes for your body to maintain your current weight, right? So we all have a certain amount of calories, and just look at calories as energy, right? So your body needs a certain amount of energy for you to do normal body functions, whether it's stand up, sit, breathe, fidget, talk. Your body actually needs a certain amount of energy. So when you start to consume less calories, now what's going to happen is your body is going to decrease in volume, aka you're gonna lose weight. All right. So once I learned that, I was like, okay, I'm just consuming way too many calories for my goals. I'm consuming way too many calories for myself, right? So I had to learn that. Now, when it comes to losing weight, being in a caloric deficit is definitely going to help. When it came to actually helping in terms of my stomach, something that I realized, added sugars, you guys, added sugars can actually help increase that stress hormone that I was talking about. So you could end up putting more weight in your actual belly with added sugars. So that is one thing that I actually cut out, right? I don't eat a lot of overly processed foods like fried foods and things like that and added sugar. But I eat everything, right? So I don't believe in overly restrictive diets, right? Everything is good in moderation. But I wanted to make sure when I was doing this for myself, I had to pick something that was beneficial to my body, beneficial to my mood. So I am a volume eater. All this means, you guys, is the foods that I'm eating are going to be high in volume, meaning they take up space on the actual plate. So if they take up space on the plate, they're going to take up space in your stomach. And this is what's going to give you that feeling of being full. Now, I also want to make sure that they are low calorie, meaning they don't have as many calories as the full fat versions would do, right? And that's just because I'm staying within that caloric deficit, right? That caloric window that I have that's going to help me lose weight. And the third thing is I want to make sure that they are nutrient dense, okay? So what that means is they're going to have some protein and they're going to have some fiber and then they're going to have some vitamins and some minerals. So the reason why I focus on protein and fiber, you guys, that is going to be your holy grail when it comes to losing weight, feeling great, and actually sustaining your weight. Okay, so protein, you guys, it helps to build and repair lean muscle structure, right? This is actually what helps you get that look where your muscles are now being fed and you can kind of see the tone and the definition, right? The fiber actually helps with your digestion and your satiety levels. What that means, you guys, is your body takes a longer time for it to break down protein and to break down fiber, right? It doesn't even really break it down. So what's going to happen is it takes a longer time for this. So this means you're going going to stay full longer. So that was my whole goal, you guys. When I was doing this, right, I told you I lost weight before. It wasn't sustainable. I was kind of like starving myself, right? I was always hungry. I was starving myself. So when I started to do this again, I said, one thing that I need to be true for me is that I do not want to be hungry. I hated the feeling of feeling hungry. So I was like, okay, how can I make sure that I'm never, ever hungry? This is why I eat 6 to 7 times per day. You're like, what? You eat 6 to 7 times per day? Yes, I do, right? I'm constantly eating every 2 to 3 hours, and everything that I eat has protein, fiber, and some type of minerals and nutrients. My body loves it. So what that might look like for me, you guys, is I'm eating some type of lean protein, right? Whether it be chicken, fish, steak, whatever your meats are, right? I eat all meat. That means I'm eating a lot of veggies, a lot of fruits, a lot of green leafy veggies, I would say. Not a lot of starchy veggies. I eat those, but my body doesn't really like them that much. And so I eat them, but only like, you know, every once in a while. So I eat a lot of green leafy vegetables. I eat a lot of fruit. My body loves fruit, you guys. Like, I don't know why, but my body absolutely loves fruit. Now, I told you, I'm not big on restricting things, right? So when it comes to the foods like your cookies, your cakes, your pies, and things like that, what I do is I either find the more health conscious version of that, or I make it myself. Yes, y'all. Like, look, if I can do it, I promise you, you can do it too. Like, once you start to cook for yourself, you develop a whole different type of self-love. I promise you. Like, when I notice when I start cooking for myself, like, my food tastes absolutely amazing, if I must so say so myself. And like, even when I go to these restaurants and stuff, I'm like, meh. Like, I could do this on my own. Now I actually have more confidence in my cooking abilities. So I make my own cookies. I make my own cakes. I make my own pizza, right? I do a lot of these different things. So that way I get to control what goes into my body. And of course, when I'm making it, it's naturally going to be lower in fat. It's going to be lower in calories, and it doesn't have the added sugar. You see, like, one thing that I learned is a lot of these restaurants and stuff like that, they don't necessarily care about your overall well-being. They just want you to enjoy the food. And that's how the sugar can actually trick your brain, right? Like, sugar has actually been linked to triggering the same brain waves as drugs would be. So when I cook, I don't have a bunch of the added sugar. I actually don't use added sugar at all. And once I started to drink more water and make sure that I'm filling up on green leafy vegetables, fruits, whole grains, right? Things like that. My body just shrank. Okay. So that is tip number 3. Tip number 4 is I want you to incorporate some type of exercise. So exercise, you guys, is very, very good for your overall well-being. Like, I kind of hinted towards it in number 3, where I said don't expect to, you know, outrun a bad diet. But exercise is good for your heart. It's good for, like, your mind, your body, soul, your spirit. It's good overall, right? Like, it improves your mood. It's a great way to relieve stress. It has so many different benefits outside of losing weight, all right? So I want you to incorporate some type of exercise. Now, one thing is, I talked about it before, about like perfectionism, thinking that you got to do this. I want you to start off slow and then work your way up. So when I was trying to get healthier, right, I actually started to look at exercise as a form of punishment. I hate to say that, but I did. And the way I looked at it as punishment, because I'd be like, oh, you ate bad, so now that means you got to work out extra hard. And so I started to have this negative association with working out. And so, of course, now in my head, I'm like, nah, I got to go extra hard. And I realized sometimes as a perfectionist, right, we say we got to do 10, 15 minutes. We got to sweat this. We got to do that. If we did not do it, we don't get the reward or the benefit. So what I want you to do is start off slow. Don't ask anybody how long you should be working out. Listen to yourself. It's not what should you do, it's what can you do. So if you can do 5 minutes, do 5 minutes. If you can do 10 minutes, do 10 minutes. If you can do 20 minutes, do 20, right? Listen to your body, okay? Now, for me, what worked is walking, okay? So walking is a good way to relieve stress, right? Think about it. When you're walking, right? Normally we walk outside, or we're walking on a treadmill, we got the music playing. Like, your mind is everywhere but on those actual problems. Because when you think about it, walking takes up a lot of freaking energy. I don't know about y'all, right? But when I'm walking, I ain't thinking about no problems. I'm over here trying to figure out, how in the hell can I walk and not fall? Like, how can I actually walk and breathe at the same time and not fall? And don't let you be talking to somebody at the same time, because now it's like, how can you walk, talk, and breathe without actually falling? So it's a good way to relieve stress. You guys, not only that, but walking is an exercise that actually impacts your entire body. Okay, it impacts your entire body. And not only that, but it has been proven to help relieve stress. So guess what? When you're relieving that stress, if it's been stored in your belly, guess what? You're gonna start to see that belly go down. So yes, I'm going to give you a couple of tips that have helped me in terms of walking. Yes, your girl got a tip within a tip. All right, so tip number one is you wanna keep your abs or your core engaged. Yes, I am not talking about sucking it like now you just about to fuck around and pass out. No, I'm talking about actually keeping engaged so that way you have control over your muscles. Even if you think that you don't, you're like, girl, I ain't got no abs. Yes, you do. They're there, okay? So I want you to keep those engaged. Keep them tight because what's going to end up happening is you're going to be walking upright because a lot of us, we slouch, right? We got bad posture. So now you're actually walking upright. And as you have those abs engaged, you're going to start to target that deep inner ab muscle. Okay. Tip number two is I want you to actually move your arms, get into the zone, feel it, right? I don't know why, but all of a sudden when we start walking now, we think we just got to be a stick figure. We ain't even walking naturally no more. Move your arms. This is going to help you in terms of endurance too, right? It's going to help you propel forward. So this way you're not actually fighting yourself against your natural bodily movements. Put that song on, just jam out, do the doggone thing, girl, move them arms and have fun with it. Number three is I want you to up that incline. Do you hear me? So like I said, I'm in Chicago, right? I ain't walking outside. I don't care what you say about me. I'm not taking my ass outside and walking. Child, please. No, I am walking on a treadmill. So if you are actually walking on a treadmill as well, don't just have it flat. You want to increase resistance. See, when you're walking outside, you're naturally going to get the resistance, right? Like you're going to get the resistance from the wind. You're going to get the resistance from hills and little steps that go up and little steps that go down. Like the concrete and the pavement is not just flat. If you just so happen to walk outside, you're going to notice you got to jump over some potholes too, right? So you actually want to create and mimic a real world scenario. And just walking on a straight pavement is not real world. So you want to up that incline. Because what's going to happen is it's going to force you to move more muscles. And when you're moving those muscles, you're burning more calories and you're burning more calories and you're burning fat. You're going to see that your heart rate is also going to increase, right? So you're going to target those muscles. Your heart rate is going to go up. So you're going to end up burning more calories and you're going to end up burning more fat. So those are my tips for walking, you guys. Engage your abs, move your arms, up that incline. If you are walking outside, more power to you, sweetie. Make sure that you are choosing paths and pavements that do have the natural up and down, which you'll probably do any doggone way. So just to recap this episode, I told you I was going to get into it. I was going to go into the full nitty gritty of it. So tip number one is focusing on the mindset. Tip number two is learning how to manage your stress. Tip number three is focusing on nutrition. Tip number four is incorporating some form of exercise. So whether it be cardio, strength training, whatever works best for you. And if you are walking, then you already know what to do. So I hope this episode has helped you. If you guys have any type of questions, feel free to reach out. I would love to chat. Talk to you on the next one.
Thanks for listening all the way to the end. If you have found any value out of it, be sure to share it with a friend. And if you have not done so already, be sure to sign up for my free weight loss course at glowupthishowup.com, and we'll see you on the inside.